Parshas Maaseh, beginning of the parsha. Eila Maaseh Bnei Yisrael Asher Yotzu Me'eretz Mitzrayim L'Tzevoisam B'Yad Moshe V'Aaron. Vayichrov Moshe Es Moitzeihem L'Maaseihem Al Pi Hashem Ve'Eila Maaseihem L'Moitzeihem. This pasuk over here, the second pasuk in the parsha. And Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down their esmoitze ahem, their departures, limas ahem, according to their journeys, al pi Hashem, by the word of Hashem, and these ve'eila masehem, and these were their journeys, limoitze ahem, to their departures. So, the obvious question is moitze ahem, limas ahem, masehem, limoitze ahem, what's going on? That's the obvious kasha. I have a second kasha that is apparently not as obvious. I don't recall seeing it anywhere. What is this lashon of Vayich Tov Moshe? Moshe wrote. Moshe, when I say is he came down, he was the one that wrote the whole Torah that came from the Bnei Yisrael, and the Bnei Yisrael wrote Moshe Benu. What's the Shliach? How are we going to learn Moshe? We got this Torah Moshe. It's from the Bnei Yisrael, but it's Torah Moshe. What's this Vayich Tov Moshe? There's a new thing over here. Moshe wrote. Do you want to say Moshe? You say what? Say that Klal Yisrael is like everything else. What's Vayich Tov Moshe? The Ksav Sefer says Murray the Gipshat. He explains that the reason that Klal Yisrael had to wander in the Midbar for 40 years was because they did not believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmo took them out of Mitzrayim. And they sinned, they did aveiros by complaining and sending the miraglim. The Ramban in Parashas B'Shalach says that Klal Yisrael believed that Moshe took them out of his own volition, without the will of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, as we say in the Ramban. Had Moshe and Aaron not led Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and Paro would have let them out because of the Makkos, then Klal Yisrael would not have made the mistake that it was not HaKadosh Baruch Hu who took them out. Eile Masei Bnei Yisrael. This is the cause that Klal Yisrael had to wander through the Midbar. Asher yotu me'eretz Mitzrayim l'tzivoisom v'yad Moshe v'Aaron. Ksav Sefer is reading into the words of this Ramban. V'yad Moshe v'Aaron, because they went through Moshe and Aaron, messengers of Hashem. They made a mistake thinking that it was the messengers and not the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Vayichtov Moshe es moitzeihem l'maseihem al pi Hashem. Moshe wrote down that the departures were like their journeys, meaning, just as their journeys were at the will of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, so too their departures were at the will of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. What does that mean? The journeys through the Midbar, Klal Yisrael saw it. They saw it bepoil, they saw the man, they saw the bear, they saw the nani akovet, then they saw the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. It wasn't Moshe. Moshe didn't feed them, Moshe didn't protect them. That was clearly from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. So he said this, v'yichle Moshe eis moitze eyim l'maseim al pi Hashem, that it was all al pi Hashem, eyle maseim l'moitze eyim. And then their journeys were proof to them that the departure was also by the will of Hashem. So it was because of the journeys later through the Midbar that they saw clearly that it was the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. That was the proof that when they left was also from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. It's a shame they didn't learn it earlier, because they wouldn't have gone through the Midbar all those years. The Maryam Shik says, from the day a person is born until the day he dies, a person is on a journey in this world. It's a masay to this world. There are two paths to choose from. One is the path of good, toiv, and one of the path is ra, evil. Every person believes that his path is the righteous one. Everyone believes that. I have a raya to this Maram Shik who's saying this. I once spoke to a Choshev Rosh Koyl, and it was parashas of Lavan with Yaakov, and he tells me, you know, listen, Lavan went to sleep thinking he was a Rasha. He knew he was a Rasha. Lavan knew he was a trickster. I said, could be. I said, but the Rush argues with you. I go, the Rush argues with you. He says, what do you mean? What does the Rush say? I said, the Rush says that what happened? Yaakov came and said, told Lavan, what did he want? He wanted to marry who? He wanted to marry the younger one. Right?
Today's
but what did he say? Today's daf. So what does it say there? What did he ask for?
He said Rochel Bitra Hakatan.
Yaakov Avinu knew Lavan was going to trick him. He was scared of it. So what did he say? Rochel Bitra Hakatan. He asked Rochel Bitra Hakatan. Rosh Eitan the Rosh Al-Tayra. Lavan went to shul. They made a clap on the bima. Leah, we're going to start calling her Rivka. The halacha is, anyone's name could be changed, if everyone starts calling, we make an announcement, it doesn't have to be by the bima. I don't know if Lavan went to the bima. But if we make an announcement and say Mendel is now going to be called Shmuel, and that's his name, and everyone starts calling him, his name is changed. It's Mefurish and Shulchan Aruch. His name is effectively changed. So Lavan went and changed Leah's name and said, your name is now Rivka. What about Yaakov's asking for the katana? What does Lavan answer? He brings Raya to this. What does Lavan answer? What was Lavan's answer to Yaakov? What did Yaakov ask for? Ketana. Zok the Rosh. You want to know what happened? He says, Yaakov Avinu, you asked for Bitcha HaKetana. What is Ketana? Short. Cotton Godel. Short, tall. He brings Raya that Leah was short and Rachel was pretty. Rachel was tall. He brings Raya from Shir Shirim. There's a concept of tall being pretty and short being not. So the fact that the Torah tells us that Rachel was the pretty one, not Rivka, but Rachel. Leah and Rachel, my apologies. Okay. But the fact that Rachel was the pretty one, Rachel means was taller. So what did Lavan say? I gave Yaakov exactly what you wanted. Rachel Bitcha HaKetana. I gave you Rachel, my daughter, who's the short one. Leah was the short one. That's what he gave. And if you would have asked me, in the right lashon he was telling Yaakov, if you would have asked me for Tzi'ira, you would have said, I want Bitcha HaTzi'ira, I would have told you, no. If you would have asked, I would have said, no. L'nos HaTzi'ira Ne'abachibra. We don't give away the younger one before the older one. Even Lavan went to sleep saying, I didn't really trick him. I had a reason. I didn't just flat out lie. You know, I gave him what he asked for. What do you want? Everyone goes to sleep feeling good about themselves. Ram Shik says, how is one to know if he's taka following the proper path? We've established that everyone goes to sleep thinking they're a big tzaddik. How does one know otherwise? He says, if one is seen by others as being righteous, then he can assume that he's on the proper path. One must be righteous for himself and righteous for others. There are times that one realizes that his taivus, his desires, are leading him on an evil path. The realization of this is positive, because by having this knowledge that he's realizing that his taivus are veering him off the proper path, then he can do tshuva. Because at least if you recognize it, they say the first step to doing tshuva is recognizing you did something wrong. If you don't recognize it, you have no chance. The journey begins. How? Al pi Hashem, by the will of Hashem. The elam aseihem, however, their journeys have sin which they must rectify. L'moitzaeihem, to go back to the good path, the will of Hashem. So the journey is going away, and moitzaeihem is coming back to the good path. The root of all evil, of all ra, is gaiva, haughtiness. As I say in the Ramshik, the Goyin says this also in numerous places. When one thinks that he is righteous based on his own judgment, he never realizes that he's on the evil path and will follow it till the end. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael the Torah HaKadosha. That's what the Baruch Hashem gave Klal Yisrael. He gave it to them in the Midbar to teach us that the only way to have a connection to the Torah is if you're like a Midbar. It's the only way you could really have a connection to the Torah. How is that? By being humble. You have to be humble. This attitude was, of course, Klal Yisrael to serve by the Zohar and caused the first Churban Beis Hamikdash. The second Churban was also caused by this attitude. Chazal told us that they did not say Birchas HaTorah before learning. They only made a bracha on the Torah after they understood what they were learning. No, we're not going to make a bracha before. We don't know if we're going to like it. If we liked it, we enjoyed the pilpul, okay, we'll make a bracha. As I say, they thought their intellect was superior, and they did not want to make a bracha until they understood what the Torah really was. This undermined the great schus that Klal Yisrael had for saying Naseh V'Nishma. Na'aseh v'nishma, we will follow the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam because it is His will, whether we understand it or not. This is what they were oiker. This is what we have to work on. When Klal Yisrael went through the Midbar, what we have to realize is they have to be na'aseh v'nishma. We don't have to understand. We don't have to first say, oh, let me see how sweet the Torah is, then I'll make a bracha. No, make a bracha first. It says in the Malvish, the Shabbos V'yamtiv, praised is the one that as he ascends higher and higher in Ruchnius, he still sees himself at the beginning of his Avodah Ribbono Shel Olam. The 42 journeys that Klal Yisrael traversed in the Midbar were steps which elevated them in Ruchnius, Moitzoehem L'maseihem. Klal Yisrael were going higher and higher in Ruchnius. But you want to know with what they grew. Ve'ela ma'aseihem l'moitzoeihem. You want to know how they rose. Even as they rose in Ruchnius, they still saw themselves as moitzoeihem, as first leaving. You're leaving, you're starting your journey. L'maaseihem, you're going up and up and up. But you have to always see yourself as the bottom again. You have to see ve'ela ma'aseihem l'moitzoeihem. You can't think, oh, look how much I've accomplished. Look at me, I'm doing well over here. That's when you fall. Fakert, as high as you go, the bigger the gedolim, the true gedolim, they say, is the more they realize they don't know anything and they're just starting their journey. The Pitzadik says, Klal Yisrael journeyed to 42 places in the Midbar representing the Shem Hashem that has 42 Oseis. Every place that Klal Yisrael journeyed in the Midbar, they were achieving a letter of the Shem Hashem. You want to know why the Torah delineates all 42? Because each one represented a Shem of Hashem, of the letter of a Shem of Hashem of the 42 Oseis. They were going step by step up the ladder of Kedusha. We have to know how we can grow in Kedusha step by step. You can't jump, you can't accomplish everything at once. You have to take each part one by one. Our avodah in this world is to raise our level of Ruchnius step by step. Moshe Rabbeinu was not just telling us Klal Yisrael's journeys and their departures. He was writing it down for them, telling us this is the fundamental part of the Torah Kedusha. This is the only way we can grow. This is the way we can have Ruchnius. We have to stay away from Gaiva. We have to stay away from things that will turn us away, which we said the main thing is becoming haughty. We don't even know if we're doing the right thing. We can't possibly do tshuva. But even more than that, na'aseh v'nishma. We have to say we don't have to understand. Everyone thinks we have to understand. I don't understand, so I'm not going to accept it. We don't have to understand. Na'aseh v'nishma. I once had about tshuva. He was in my house. I invited other guests as well. And one of the guests, Nebuch, they had a very sick child. And when the family left, the Baal Teshuva is like, I don't understand. Why did God do that to them? They're such a nice family. The parents are so nice. I don't understand. Why did the Baal Teshuva do that? So I'm not a Baal Teshuva expert. I don't not say I'm an expert. But I try to answer him. I said, let me ask you a question. You have Pinocchio. Pinocchio was created by his master, whatever his name is, Geppetto. And when Pinocchio is walking around, does he think that he has shayches to everything Geppetto did? Geppetto created him. He now thinks he can understand everything Geppetto did. He's much lower level. So the Aleph Alpha Abdallah. I said, can you create the world? I said, I asked about you. Do you think you can create this world? He says, no. I said, okay. God created the world. The God is 10 gazillion, we can't count the numbers, we can't quantify it, greater than us. Why do we think that we should understand? I said, you're trying to understand like you think that you should understand. But why do you think you should understand? You have to have emunah, that everything the Ribbono Shel Olam does is for our good, that's the purpose, and you have to accept that. If you think you're going to understand, you're missing a integral part of emunah, we can't understand. That's not our job to understand. Our job is na'aseh v'nishma. It's a famous maaseh from the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim was a child, supposedly he was sitting around a group of boys, and they were all discussing, what would you do if you were God? And one child says, if I were God, you know, Shmerel lives down the block, he's very poor, I would make him a rich man. Beautiful. The next person says, oh, you know, Yassel, he lives around the corner, Nebuch, he's not well, I would make him have a refuah, he'd be completely well. They ask the next person, what would you do? Yeah, a couple doesn't have children, and he hasn't children, whatever it is. And they ask the Chafetz Chaim, and if you were God, what would you do? He says, if I were God, I would do everything exactly the way you see it. Because if I were God, I would understand why everything is being done, and that's the right thing. Wouldn't change a thing. We're not God. I received an email from a cousin of mine, a doctor in Florida, July 11th. He forwarded me an email that he got directly from a fellow named Daniel. I'm guessing it's Daniel and not Danny, but Daniel Weiss. And he's a doctor, apparently. He lives in Eretz Yisrael now. And I'm going to read you the letter. Dear all, he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He has 7 people on the email he sent this to. I guess they're his friends. Dear all, this morning we had our shul's usual Friday morning softball game. Ben, Josh, and Noah were playing with me. All of a sudden, we hear the rocket warning siren. This is, by the way, July 11, 2014. There being no shelter nearby, we huddled on the north side of a tall and wide dirt mound on the side of the field. It's in parentheses, rockets come from the south, from where? Gaza. We then looked up at the sky to the south and saw the now all too familiar large white puff of smoke, the signature of yet another successful Iron Dome interception. 20 seconds or so later, we heard the double boom of the collision. Yes, one can estimate how far away it was. That sounds move at 1,100 feet a second, and the angle of the puff was 60 degrees. I have no idea what he's talking about. We then ambled back onto the field to continue. Another day in Israel, courtesy of our dear cousins. As I think about Iron Dome, and what an absolute game changer it has been, it's really quite incredible. Without it, think of the loss of life and property. Without it, think of the masses of casualties piling up, as well as untold shekels of damage, where we would be forced to immediately send in a massive ground assault with much greater operational risk. This is before they went in on ground. This is again July 11th. Needless to say, our civilian life would be far more terror-filled. The inventor of Iron Dome lives in Ranana and is a friend of one of our friends. Our friend recounted his conversation with this fellow, a religious guy, about how he came up with the idea. I'm not vouching this is true, I'm reading you the email. He stated that in particular, there was a key element that he just could not figure out how to solve. Everyone had told him that this issue was impossible to solve and told him to forget about it. Then, out of nowhere, a solution popped into his mind. It was completely different from the way he had been trying to tackle this problem, and he's surprised that the idea even came to his head. He was surprised, he doesn't say that. It was as if it were a prophetic insight. The rest is history. Dot, dot, dot. I am reminded of the story of the building of the Mishkan in the desert, where God tells Moses that the different elements of the Mishkan will be built by those, quote, into whom God placed the spirit of wisdom. Hashem yilesev ruach chochma, v'ata tzadabel kol chachma leib. I'm sorry, tzadabel kol chachma, Hashem yilesev ruach chochma. We know who is really protecting us. Sometimes with overt miracles, sometimes with hidden ones, sometimes with a combination of both. Ashrei ha'om she'Hashem aleikav, ashrei ha'om she'koch aloi. As we are on the threshold of, unfortunately, another period of the 3 weeks, we need to be thankful for what we have and give praise to the one who gave it to us. Like the Iron Dome inventor, we should not for even a moment think that it is our doing alone. The mistake of Koichi v'Oitzim Yad Yosliyis Achayel Hazeh. While this period in history is an unlucky one for us, he writes in the parentheses, is that why the Arabs keep choosing this time of year to start up with us, beknownst to them or not? Perhaps this year will be different. After all, we have staunchly secular left-wing MKs saying Tehillim with Haredi rabbis for the return of the three boys. We can only hope that now in the period of Schalta, the Geula, the beginning of the redemption, it will not be an unlucky 3-week period. We should all remember to do our part no matter where we live. Torah avoiding milas chasodim. Where avoida certainly includes the hill. Tzim amishpat tipode v'shevei avistaka. May we all have a Shabbat Shalom. Signed, Danny. This is, we have, they're living life like normal. At least they recognize the Iron Dome. What is the Iron Dome? We can get caught up into it. We need to understand why the Baruch Shalom is causing the other war. We don't have to know. We have to do our avodah. The Baruch Shalom made an Iron Dome, and I did this amazing thing. It's unbelievable. It's the Iron Dome. It's saving tremendous amounts of lives and money. It's not that there was a Yid who, or anyone who created it. The Rabbeinu Shalom. We have to remember that. We can't become a Bal Gaiva. That's the lesson of going through the Midbar. We have to be fully reliant on the Rabbeinu Shalom at all times. Everything comes from the Rabbeinu Shalom. There's nothing that doesn't come from the Rabbeinu Shalom. A little later in the parasha, it says, Kivi ir miklota yeshev ad moisa koin hagodl v'achre moisa koin hagodl yoshev ha'atzecha el eretz achuz osay. And we know that someone, he kills someone, he goes to the ari miklot until the koin gadol dies. And then the pasuk says he returns to the land of his possessions, el eretz achuz osay. When one commits a murder by mistake, inadvertently, he must flee to the Ari Mikla until the passing of the Kohen Gadol. After the Kohen Gadol dies, he can return. Why does the pasuk tell us that he needs to return to the Eretz Achuz Asay? Let him live wherever he wants. Say, he gets to go out of the Ari Mikla. Why are you telling us where he returns? The pasuk in Matthew says, Rashi, that the laws of Nedarim were taught to the Nesiim first and then to the rest of Klal Yisrael to teach us that a Yochid Mumcha has a power to annul Nedarim. The Beis Yisrael, it says in the Sefer Shaftim, Perek Yud Aleph, there's a mice over there with Yiftach. Before going out to war for the sake of Klal Yisrael, Yiftach made a neder that if Hashem would deliver the enemy into his hands, and the first one that would come out of the door and meet him, he would be Mekadosh that. He was assuming an animal as a sacrifice, a carbon to Hashem. He won the battle. Who came out? His daughter. His daughter came out. Yiftach was the king. He felt that it was below his dignity to go to Pinchas to ask that the nether should be annulled. Pinchas the Navi heard about the nether. He felt that Yiftach should come to him to have the null of out. Ultimately, the nether was not annulled, was never annulled. And Yiftach's daughter suffered the consequences for it. Like, what happened to her, but she suffered the consequences of it. How could Pinchas think about his honor at a time like this? Someone's life is at stake. Yiftach's daughter's life is at stake. He's thinking about COVID. A Chacham has the power to annul a vow only if the one who made the nether completely and willfully submits to his authority and accepts him as a superior. When Pinchas realized that Yiftach thought that he was superior, he did not go to Yiftach because he would not be able to annul the vow. Not because Pinchas held himself to be greater. If Yiftach didn't see Pinchas as greater, then Pinchas did not have the koyach to annul the vow. The Gemara says both Yiftach and Pinchas were punished for not having the nether annulled. Yiftach should have respected Pinchas, so that Pinchas could have annulled the nether. But the question is, why was Pinchas punished? I just gave you a beautiful reason why Pinchas shouldn't be punished. It wouldn't have worked. You know what the answer is? It says in the Beis Yisrael. Had Pinchas gone to Yiftach, that in itself would have caused Yiftach to submit to his authority. Yiftach would have seen, wow, Pinchas the Navi was willing to come to me so he could save my daughter. He would have been so impressed by the anivus of Pinchas that he would have respected him for his anivus. He would have respected him for that. One is sent to the Aramikla because he killed someone b'shogeg, by accident. If one took all the proper precautions and something that he never could have anticipated happened that caused someone's death, he doesn't go to Ari Miklat. Something completely an oinus, he doesn't go. Only someone goes to Ari Miklat for a shoygig. Where is a shoygig? He's at fault. He could have been more careful. He didn't. He bears some of the responsibilities. He should have cared about the people around him. A person goes to Ari Miklat to reflect on his actions. How he can make himself better and care more about others. The Torah tells us he has to go back to the same place that he lived in before. He should not think it was not his fault that he killed someone. The Torah speaks to him and tells him that it was his fault he was not careful enough. He did not respect the lives of others and did not take the proper precautions. He needs to go back to the same place and continue to work on himself. Like we see that you shouldn't say, "Oh, it's that place was not a good place for me." No, go back to that place. It's you. It's not the place. The Gedolei Hador even have a greater achrayus to personify this midah. Pinchas, a great tzaddik, wanted to help the daughter of Yiftach. He thought he could not help, but he didn't realize if he would have gone, Yitzhak would have been able to help her. We have to think about our fellow Yidden. We have to be one Am Yisrael. We have to be Klal Yisrael together. We want the Beis HaMikdash together rebuilt. Everyone has to think about another. I received a letter last night. Apparently it was sent from a soldier in Gaza. It's dated July 22nd, 2014, 4:46 a.m. I don't know what time that is. That's Israeli time, American time. Today our hearts are pounding in fear. Who of us will die? And who will return safely? We are your messengers in fighting. We are fighting so you can live peacefully with your children. So you can stay alive. We are your protection. Will you be ours? We are going to this dangerous mission knowing some of us will not come back, but will rise to the next position in the storm to Shemayim and to heaven, as Eliyahu the Navi did. We are going with devotion and dedication. We are asking you to be our protection with your prayers. Protect us by going above and beyond yourselves through ruchnius and good deeds. Pray for us. Pray that you won't see another mother burying her son. Pray that you won't see our wives as widows raise our children in tears. Pray that our children will grow up knowing who their fathers are. Pray that we will eliminate the terrorists who aim to destroy us, and that we will not injure innocent women and children. Notice he writes that they're worried about injuring. You see all these nices where the world is saying that the Israelis, they don't care about life and they're killing all the innocent women and children, and the soldiers worrying about that. He's asking you to daven that when they go into Gaza and kill, they should worry about the children and the women. Please, we are begging you, as you are reading this, don't just go on to the next thing you are doing. Say a chapter of Tehillim. Wake up David HaMelech, to ask Hashem for full geula and peace for all the world. Take upon yourself another good deed and please pass it on. I'm certain that your prayer will make a difference. Remember, we are in it together. We are on the front lines carrying the weapons, and you are fighting along with us in your prayers. Each word of your prayer gives us strength, protection, and success. This is from a soldier going out to war. We have to feel this as well. Achenu b'nei Yisrael, the matzav in Eretz Yisrael, they're fighting for Eretz Yisrael, the Eretz HaKadosha. There should be a Yeshua for Klal Yisrael. We should be zeicha to see the rebuilding of the Bayis Nemen, the third base of Mikdash, and be zeicha to the ultimate goal. Amen.
Amen.